If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the La Liga Lowdown podcast. It's match day 5 and we're on our Sunday night recap. I'm Rory Barlow. I'm going to be your host for today, but I'm joined by the ever excellent Roman de Arquer. How are you doing, Roman?
Good. I mean, we enjoyed some very entertaining games this weekend. Lots of goals in some of those games, which was great always to see goals. And the last one we've seen on Sunday night, which was Villarreal Betis. I mean, didn't have too many goals, but definitely had a lot of opportunities and it was quite exciting to watch. So I'm very happy about this match day so far.
Yeah, we've had some aesthetic weekends in La Liga in the last season, but we were treated to, as you say, kind of a fiesta of goals in the last kind of couple of days. That Villarreal Betis, though, it was the one that we previewed before the match as kind of the big tie of this weekend. It ended 1-0 to Betis, a massive win at the Benito Villamarín. It was Luis Enrique who assisted Rodri for Betis to get this sort of winner. Villarreal missed some chances. What did you kind of make of this game, and did Betis kind of deserve the win, do you think?
Well, I mean, I think overall it was quite an equal game, but I do think Villarreal, I mean, the first half had some really good opportunities through Jackson, through Moreno. I mean, I think they should have converted a few of those they had. That was very unfortunate for them. And, you know, Betis made the most of it because they did have the ball quite a lot also in the first half. Maybe not as incisive as Villarreal, I'd say. But then, you know, once they got the goal, they just sat back. And then it was Villarreal all the time, you know, pushing forward, trying to find those spaces. But, of course, they lost Gerard Moreno due to a possible injury. So he had to be subbed off before time. And, of course, that didn't help in their chances of finding a goal because Jackson wasn't maybe that good in the second half. Chukwueze came on. He looked really sharp. I mean, he did generate a lot of danger. But overall, I don't know. Villarreal were just missing something in attack, you know, to finish off all the possession and all the creativity they were having towards the end of the field of the pitch. So, I mean, in the end, I'd say it is a fair result because, I mean, Betis were a solid team overall, and I think a good defending also gets you wins in this case.
100%. And this was obviously kind of a direct rival match between Betis and Villarreal. I think they're both going for fourth place. Betis, I think it was their best start since 2011, 2012, with 4 wins out of 5. It's just that defeat to Real Madrid. Are Betis kind of now favourites? Now that we've had kind of a wee bit of a taste of the season, do you make them favourites for that fourth place? Or Villarreal still kind of further ahead in your mind?
Well, I mean, I was pretty convinced that for me, at the beginning of the season, Villarreal were slightly ahead. But, of course, we have to see what happens with Moreno, you know, if he's going to be injured a long time. And it's going to be similar to last season where he kept getting injured. They kept losing him. That was definitely going to be a big setback because they were looking for another striker. They were pressing for Umar Sadiq, for example, Villarreal, to have like a backup there. But in the end, it was too expensive. They decided not to go for anyone in particular and they just you know, gave a trust to Baena, to Jackson, to those youngsters coming on from the B team. So, I mean, it's hard to say. I still think Villarreal are slightly ahead, but definitely Betis are going to fight for it. For me, those two definitely are going to be one of the fourth teams if Atletico keep up a good level.
And Betis' rivals, Sevilla, I think we've sort of discounted them a little bit from the top four race, but they did get their first win of the season up in your neck of the woods against Espanyol, 3-2, José Ángel Carmona with two goals and an assist on his first start for Sevilla. It was a pretty remarkable performance from him. Espanyol went 3-0 down through a lot of their own mistakes in the first half and then pegged them back to 3-2, but Sevilla just about saw it out. Eric Lamela got the first goal, but it was then sent off, and it was far from convincing. But how much does this win do for Lopetegui's job security?
Well, I mean, it's definitely a big boost, because I think another defeat would have basically sent him off. And if it had been a defeat after winning 3-0, or drawing even after winning 3-0, that definitely would have, I think, made him lose his job, because Lopetegui, we all know, is in a very, very tight position at the moment. We saw last season how things didn't go great. This season, they haven't started good at all. So, I mean, this is a breath of fresh air for him and his team. And you can see the team really needed the win, too. I think the players want this to work out, and I was surprised to see the formation at the beginning, because there was lots of changes. You mentioned José Ángel with his debut, and you know, playing Oliver Torres, playing Lamela, I don't know, Gudels. I felt like it was a bit of a strange lineup. It wasn't maybe your best 11, take into account what Lopetegui was playing for, but I mean, it paid off, you know, and he definitely knew what he was doing. I mean, Sevilla got that 3-0 advantage, which was comfortable. Of course, in the end, they struggled, because Espanyol fought back, and the sending off of the end of Lamela, of course, didn't help. But credit to Lopetegui, and hopefully he can build on off of this and get Sevilla to play better football, because they definitely have a squad to be top five at least, you know.
And just a quick word on Espanyol. As I say, they're obviously your neck of the woods. More mistakes from Diego Martinez's side. I mean, they showed a lot in that kind of defeat to Real Madrid. They were beaten narrowly, but things haven't really got off the ground.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we had really high expectations, because we know what Diego Martinez did at Granada, you know, and I felt like with Espanyol he could do something similar, but these things also take time, you know. It's not going to have an immediate impact, and let's not forget at the same time they have to be dealing with the Raul de Tomas situation, which definitely doesn't help, because imagine having Raul de Tomas and Joselu playing together up front. I mean, the Espanyol probably would have grabbed a few more points. So I mean, summer planning has been affected by this apparently, because with the money they were going to get from de Tomas, they were planning on a couple more signings at least, but of course that didn't work out, so Diego Martinez had to improvise a bit with what he has. And I think the squad is not bad, but it's not great either, you know. I thought they would maybe bring, as I said, a couple more players to really reinforce maybe attack, although Braithwaite, to be fair, seems to be working pretty well with two goals already. We'll see if he can keep up this level, but yeah, I mean, I'd give Diego Martinez some more time, you know, because we all know what he's capable of, and I think in the end Espanyol will be able to get better in the standings, you know, and climb up those positions.
Espanyol whistled off at the end, but we do have faith in Diego Martinez, as Roman said. He's enough credit in the bank for a little bit. And exactly. Coming on to the team we were just mentioning there, Real Madrid 4-1 against Mallorca at home. Doesn't entirely tell the whole story of the match, though, because Mallorca were pretty good. They handled Real Madrid pretty well for my money, and it was only sort of a late flurry of goals which added a bit of padding to the scoreline. This was, of course, their first match without Karim Benzema from the start after he picked up an injury against Celtic. How did they fare in your view, Roman?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Mallorca looked really solid. They created quite a lot of danger. I mean, they got the first goal of the game through Muriqi and Kangin Lee, who's looking so, so good this season so far. Keeps assisting, scoring, providing for that team. And he's definitely seems like he's convinced he can step up his game, and he's doing it so far. And Mallorca, honestly, look much better than I thought. I thought they would be relegation candidates, and at the moment, they're proving me wrong. I'm glad for them, because, I mean, Aguirre is doing a great job there, and they look like a solid team. You know, defensively, last season, they were very, very poor, whereas somehow they've kind of, like, fixed many of those problems they had, and Madrid, you know, had a tough time coming back. And in the end, of course, like the Espanyol game you mentioned against Madrid, where at the end, you know, they got the couple of goals and kind of made it look like it was a big win. Similar thing happened here at the end, you know, Rodrigo, Vinicius, they did their thing, and Rudiger got the fourth goal. A bit unfair for one, I'd say, as you said, because overall Mallorca did well, and they maybe For quite a big part of the game, they did deserve at least a point, but in the end, it's Real Madrid, you know, and we know how they push, how they keep pressing, and they're looking pretty good this season too, Real Madrid. I thought they would maybe bring down their level a little bit, but it's completely the opposite. They've really stepped up, and they look more of a confident side, and it seems like they're not playing as, I wouldn't say bad, because last season I felt like Madrid's results maybe weren't at the level of the football they were playing, but this season they are really stepping up in that sense, and they look like a very, very dangerous side indeed.
Eden Hazard started in place of Karim Benzema, and he was pretty good in midweek against Celtic. He was involved in all three goals, but this was very much a return to the anonymous Eden Hazard. Now, I wrote a bit about this on the kind of La Liga Lowdown Substack. Make sure you go and subscribe there, because there's some good content from the likes of Roman and myself coming out there. But yeah, I wrote a bit about how this was kind of his opportunity to carve out a role. Hazard, again, missing, and I fear for him. This was against kind of a more packed defence than it was against Celtic, where he had a lot of space to work with. Yeah, what are your views on him, and are we set for another season of disappointing moments from Hazard?
Honestly, I think at this point he really isn't going to be the Hazard we all knew. I mean, it is surprising, because I mean, he came from Chelsea and he was still playing good football. That's why they signed him, you know, and then suddenly out of nowhere the injuries and maybe the lack of confidence, and year after year, you know, Madrid fans have the hope that he might return to his best form, or at least start providing more, but it's true that against Celtic he was pretty good, but I don't just see it happening. It's really difficult for a player to recover after so many years of being at the bottom, you know, and really struggling. I mean, it is Hazard. Could happen, but honestly, my personal view is that we won't see the best Hazard in a consistent manner.
Yeah, it's a bit of a crying shame when you see a footballer completely sort of fall off a cliff from where they were. Moving across the city to Saturday night's entertainment, and that was Atleti against Celta. 4-1 win for Los Colchoneros, and it was a comfortable win in the end, but again, not for the entire 90 minutes. And Angel Correa got us started, Rodrigo de Paul, Unai Nunez, an own goal for Celta, and Yannick Carrasco with a terrific goal. Gabri Vega, youngster, got on the score sheet as well for Celta, who pressed early on, and Iago Aspas hit the post. They looked very threatening, but eventually Atleti just took their chances in this one.
Yeah, I mean, Atleti looked more efficient, we could say, towards goal, because I think they had 4 shots on target. They got 4 goals. They got a bit lucky also, I guess, because Unai Núñez had an own goal, as you said, but I think the other goal was kind of an own goal too from him, you know, from when Rodrigo de Paul shot. I think it rebounded on him and went in, so awful game by poor Unai Núñez, who's looking pretty good this season at Celta. So we can't really dump him for just one game. I mean, he's still a good player for them. But overall, Atletico, as I was saying, you know, they looked really efficient. A few chances they had, you know, they were making the most of them. And Celta de Vigo, first half, you know, they did create. They did have some really good opportunities, as you mentioned, too. And I think they did deserve a bit more. But they were just incapable of breaking down that Atleti defense overall. And I think they felt the pressure towards the second half. They were lacking ideas, maybe, and Atleti were more and more comfortable and just getting more goals and making the margin wider, you know. So, important 3 points for Atletico de Madrid, definitely, who also have had a tumbling start, we could say, to the season. And they don't look as sharp, maybe, but if they're getting the results and they're more efficient, that's something that Cholo is going to be happy with.
Yeah, and Antoine Griezmann, 30-minute man, came on in the 63rd minute again. In terms of Atleti's attack, I mean, I kind of looked at last season and João Félix was looking very sharp. He was looking very good. And started this season, Getafe, 3 assists in the first match, looked really good. Him and Morata have been all right, but they haven't exactly set the world alight since that Getafe game. What's your kind of views on Atleti's attack, and why again are we not seeing João Félix kind of perform to the levels that we're maybe expecting?
It's honestly a very complicated question to answer, because, I mean, as you said, he had a really great season towards the end last year, and now again he starts super well, and again he's fading a bit out. He's got like these moments where he shows his quality and then kind of disappears again. I'm not really sure if it's Cholo asking too much of him sometimes, or maybe asking for different tasks from João Félix, but in the end we do know that he has that capacity, you know, to shine and to lead the team forward. But yeah, he just, I don't know, maybe it's attitude, maybe it's mentality. I mean, it could be so many things. But I mean, overall, Morata, João Félix, I think is a pretty good two forward attackers to have on your team. Morata also, I think he doesn't have the consistency, but he can get you a goal anytime, and you play him 60 minutes, and if he doesn't do well, just bring on another of those great strikers you have on the bench. But I mean, yeah, the João Félix situation is quite weird, but hopefully he'll finally manage to explode or implode this season and show he is really good, because we've seen it. He just needs to keep it up, you know.
Yeah, 100%. And I do think João Félix will come good eventually, just on the record before Atleti fans doubt me. But that will wrap us up for part one, and then we'll come on to Barcelona-Cádiz, which was eventful for some of the wrong reasons, to be perfectly honest. But we'll get into that and discuss exactly what happened in part two. Don't go away, because we'll be back in just a second.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the La Liga Lowdown podcast. It's the Match Day 5 recap we're on. I'm Ruairi Barlow. I'm joined by Román de Arquer. And now we have to go into sort of a topic that was... It was a hard watch on Saturday evening as Barcelona travelled to Cádiz. They were 2-0 up in about the 82nd minute when the referee, Carlos de Cerro Grande, stopped the match. Conan Ledesma, the Cádiz goalkeeper, was seen sprinting across the pitch with a defibrillator that was given to him by the Barcelona medical staff. It quickly became apparent that someone in the crowd had been taken unwell. José Mari, who's another Cádiz player, with a central defender, was seen carrying a stretcher with the medical staff into the stands. And it was a sobering watch. And then for the best part of an hour, the game was postponed. The players, you saw Ronald Araujo praying on the pitch. It was somber faces before they eventually went off. They came back on about an hour later, completed the final sort of 10 minutes. Pleased to say that the Cádiz fan did recover. He was taken to hospital and is recovering kind of in the ICU, but all was well there. And it was a hard watch, and it was a strange, surreal situation to the point where by the end Barcelona won 4-0, but it didn't really feel that important, did it, Roman?
Yeah, it was definitely a very uncommon situation, in a football field for a game to stop, because a fan is really struggling and suffering, and it was very unfortunate overall. Thankfully, everyone reacted quick. The clubs helped as much as they could, and they managed to get the person to a hospital. But yeah, I mean, the game itself started off a bit strange too, a bit dull, I'd say, because Xavi completely changed the whole formation. well, the formation, the, you know, all the set of players, the starting 11. And it was quite a risky move, in my opinion. Maybe too confident that they'd get an easy win against Cádiz, which definitely wasn't the case. So, I mean, I was quite surprised to see Xavi do that. And if they'd lost the game or drawn or whatever, it would definitely have been his fault, you know, for making so many changes for this particular game. Also take into account that in the last four games, they hadn't won against Cádiz. So it was like a tough team to play against. But in the end, you know, they got that goal right off the start of the second half. And then from there on, as you said, other goals came. But the main thing was, of course, what happened to the fan, which was weird. And when the game came back on after the stop, it felt like awkward, you know, like the match is still going, but I wasn't in the mood anymore, you know, because all of what happened and stopping a game for such a long period, it was all very, very weird. But thankfully, as you mentioned, you know, everything went fine for the spectator.
Yes, it was Frenkie de Jong who opened the scoring before Robert Lewandowski doubled the lead. And then in those kind of dying minutes, as you say, there was awkward goals from Ousmane Dembélé and Ansu Fati. 9 changes, as you said, for Xavi's side, and it didn't look too fluid. There was also debuts from Marcos Alonso. Héctor Bellerín was also in the starting lineup for his first appearance. Do you think we're starting to see kind of a defined sort of starting lineup from Xavi Hernandez? I mean, Frenkie de Jong played this game and the Victoria game. Is that midfield now settled as Pedri, Busquets and Gavi, for instance?
Yeah, I think Xavi pretty much knows who his starting players are. I mean, that's why he basically left them on the bench to face Bayern, of course, in the Champions League, which is for him probably the important game. Busquets played because he didn't have as many minutes in his legs from the previous matches, of course, so it gave him that opportunity. But I mean, Xavi wanted a very deep squad for this, you know, to be able to rest his starting 11 and then to just bring on other quality players and know that they're likely going to get the 3 points. And of course, in the end, he'll be happy, even though he had to bring on Lewandowski, etc., because the game wasn't as easy as maybe he thought originally, because it's true that Cádiz hadn't scored any goals, and they still haven't scored, and they conceded so many, and they've had a horrible start to the season. But it's never easy to beat a team like this at their own ground. So, I mean, at the moment, yeah, we definitely know what the starting 11 will be against Bayern, or very similar to what we imagine.
Definitely, yes. And Robert Lewandowski, just a word for him on his kind of desire. The ball kind of sat up, almost kind of rolling in front of the goal for his goal, and nobody was there. And it was him and the defender. I think Lewandowski maybe had a slight head start, but you saw just the kind of sort of hunger and desire. Wolf, like, he was onto the ball, sliding in. And there's something just so powerful about Lewandowski, which I think is kind of what's exciting Barcelona fans. As you mentioned, they play Bayern Munich on Tuesday. What kind of chance do you give them against Bayern? Because Bayern, they're very good, obviously, but they've kind of had their way with Barcelona in recent seasons. And this is a real kind of litmus test of how far Xavi Hernandez's side have come.
Yeah, it's the first big test, we could say, of the season, if we don't count the Sevilla game. And it's definitely going to really show at what level, you know, that the team is at the moment. I still personally think that there's a lot to improve on in terms of the football they play. But at the same time, they have so many good players this season. The squad is so strong that they can comfortably score tons of goals, as we've seen in the start. And against Bayern, I mean, I do think that Bayern aren't maybe as strong also as previous seasons. I mean, losing Lewandowski and some other players has definitely taken a toll, but of course they know what they want to play and how to play it. So they're definitely gonna be a very dangerous side, and it's gonna be interesting to see also how our defense can compete against such a strong attacking team. You know, because we have been playing other squads which have generated, and we've suffered at some point of the game. So now it'll be interesting to see if we still suffer as much against a strong team like Bayern Munich, for example. But as you were saying before about Lewandowski, the hunger he has, just imagine against Bayern Munich, you know, against his ex-team. You could tell he really wanted this change. He was looking forward to a new experience, and he's really making the most of it. And I'm so sure he's going to be super motivated for that game against Bayern Munich. So that's definitely going to be really interesting to watch and see what he can do against them.
And just finally on that kind of match, Balde has been starting a lot of left back. Araujo has been more or less at centre-half since Koundé came in. What would your kind of starting back four be for that match?
Well, it's tough to say. I mean, I really prefer seeing Koundé as a centre back with Araujo, but he has been doing really well also as a fullback on that right side. And given Bellerín has been there just a while, and I'm not a great fan of Sergi Roberto either, I think I'd play Koundé on the right. Then centre backs probably Araujo, and I'm doubting between Eric and Christensen. Probably Eric, because he's more comfortable on the left, and Araujo on the right. And then on that left back position, I'd definitely go for Balde, because Marcos Alonso still needs time, in my opinion. And Jordi Alba, he hasn't been too bad in the few games he's played, but giving him the starting position, I'd say, was kind of going back to where we started, you know? We're trying to move Alba aside a little bit, and if you start him now, it's kind of saying, like, okay, he's not really going to be moved. So I'd go for Balde, who's done really well, to be honest, in the start of the season. So he deserves.
We shall see how close Roman's analysis is to that of Xavi Hernandez. Moving on to Getafe and Larreal. Larreal got their first historic win over Manchester United, including a first goal at Old Trafford on Thursday. And they came to a winless Getafe, who were looking pretty poor and slumped to a defeat promptly. Enes Unal scored with a brilliant free kick and then set up Carlos Alenia for the second. Bryce Mendes pulled one back. Alex Remio also saved a penalty from Borja Mayoral. A first win for Quique Sanchez Flores. Pretty loud, pretty raucous celebrations at Getafe. What did you make of this game, and why were Larreal so poor?
Well, I mean, Getafe definitely needed the win. Kind of like Sevilla, you know, with Lopetegui. I think Quique Sanchez Flores really needed those 3 points, especially at home. And against Real Sociedad, who, as you mentioned, played against Manchester United. And I kind of felt like they were maybe dragging a bit from that game. Even though it's still the start of the season and you don't expect them to be physically too tired, you know, when the season starts, just a few games on your legs, you still should be fresh enough, I think, to compete at a good level against a Getafe who started so, so bad. But surprisingly, Real Sociedad weren't great. And to make matters worse, Umar Sadiq had to leave with a possible injury, which doesn't look great. So, I mean, if they lose him now, that's definitely going to be a big blow, because they don't really have much more in attack apart from Sorloz, who is all right, you know, but he's not a main man for a club like Real Sociedad, who's fighting in the Europa League and to qualify for European positions in La Liga. So, I mean, quite disappointing from Real Sociedad. Although, if you look back at their stats, it's true that when they play Europa League games, they also tend to struggle in La Liga games. So maybe that squad isn't deep enough for the manager to be able to make too many changes and you know, and get good results in both competitions.
Certainly where my concerns lie, I have to say. And Alenia mentioned after the match, well, to be fair, Getafe last season, they didn't win until the seventh match. So this is a real improvement from Quique Sanchez Flores. Cadiz are one of the two sides that remain winless. The other is Elche, who were beaten 4-1 by Athletic at home and looked pretty useless, it has to be said. Nico Williams scored a fantastic goal. Oyan Sanset from the penalty spot. Berenguer and an own goal for Athletic. Boye pulled one back. There was one of the Athletic goals, I think it was Berenguer, just before halftime, where the ball is in the air and it actually thumps the Elche defender in the face before it falls to Berenguer, which kind of sums up how that match went for them. But Athletic overcoming their scoring issues. Elche, though, Francisco, how much trouble is he in?
Another one. I mean, some clubs have really had such poor starts. We said with Getafe, who at least got the win, and Sevilla, who at least got the win. But then you have Elche, you have Cadiz. These two, I mean, at the moment look like absolute relegation material unless something really changes, whether it's a new manager or squad mentality. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's happening there at Elche, because I remember I saw a few of the games at the beginning of the season where at home they didn't look too bad, you know, they had the crowd behind them, they were going forward, but then I don't know what's happening there, that's just not working out, and defensively they just look so, so poor. I mean, the 4 goals, but some of those goals were really, I think, more of a defensive problem than offensive capabilities of Athletic Club, you know, they're just kind of lost at the back, making those silly mistakes, as you mentioned, in that Berenguer goal. And I don't know, Elche really need a change, or Francisco is really going to have to leave soon, and they're going to have to find someone else. And it's sad because Francisco really kind of last season solved their problems, you know, helped them maintain themselves. But now he just can't seem to find answers for them.
It's only Barcelona up next for Elche, so I'm sure Francisco will be delighted with that. And you did mention Raúl de Tomás in the kind of Espanyol section earlier. He was meant to be in negotiations for a return to Rayo. And after the match, again, which Rayo beat Valencia 2-1 in, Raúl Martín Presa, who's the controversial president, came out with a plaster on his nose and confirmed that Ivan García, who is de Tomás's agent, had headbutted him and sent him to hospital during negotiations, which is an extra fantastic comical twist, it has to be said, although it does drag Raúl through the mud a little bit more. But go and check out Roman's piece on Raúl de Tomás and how he went from kind of a Spain international to just lost in this transfer market and trying to find a way out of Espanyol. Raúl did beat Valencia 2-1. Did you have any quick thoughts on this one, Roman?
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe I was a bit disappointed in Valencia, because I thought that after that win against Getafe, you know, they might build up on that, and because there's their new style of football with Gattuso, which is more control, more possession, more moving forward as a block, is an interesting proposition, you know, for a Valencia who's gone through so many changes in the last seasons, and I think it could give them good results. But again, Rayo Vallecano didn't prove solid enough. And then on the other hand, we have a Rayo Vallecano who needed this win at home, you know, because it had been 266 days since they hadn't won a home game, which for me was surprising, because I remember they had such a good start to the season at home last year, but I didn't think it was so long ago, you know. But there you go. Now a home win for them is definitely a good boost, and Rayo have a strong team, have a great manager, and I think they shouldn't be struggling like they did in last season, except for the end with relegation. You know, they should get a comfortable mid-table position.
And last but not least, Girona got a second home win against Valladolid in the dying minutes. Oriol Romeu in the dying minutes in the 87th minute to secure that victory. Girona looking decent enough for you to stay up, or do you have concerns about them?
Well, I mean, I have concerns because of their past experiences in first division, and also because they've brought in lots of new players. They just completely changed the squad, you know, and that's never easy to quickly adapt the players to the way you want to play, etc. But I think so far Michel has been doing a good job. They look like a team that should be strong at home, and maybe they'll grab some points away. So I do think they should have enough to save themselves. I think Oriol Romeu, as you mentioned, he's been a fantastic signing for them. He's really going to give some solidity to that midfield going forward this season. And other really interesting signings, as we've seen, like Tati Castellanos, Riquelme, etc. I mean, the squad, for me, is good. So it's just a matter of getting them to play what you need and getting it to be a solid team that can defend in those dying moments, like Valladolid couldn't do in this case, for example. So I think Girona will be an interesting team to watch, and hopefully they won't struggle too much in terms of fighting for relegation.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Roman. That brings us to the end of the fixtures. And yeah, thank you very much for your thoughts. Go and check us out on Twitter, because we are covering La Liga. We do put out some great stuff, if I do say so myself, at La Liga Lowdown on Twitter. Go and subscribe to the Substack, where we're also kind of keeping you up to date and across, as well as delving into some of the stories. I'll trouble you for one final thing, Roman. What was your moment of the week? And there was a lot of good moments this week.
Yeah, well, more than a moment, I'm going to go for a result, and it's going to be the Sevilla win. I mean, I kind of like Lopetegui, and I felt bad that he's going through this complicated situation, and I mean, he's done really good stuff for Sevilla, and I hope he can still, you know, recover from this blow he's had at the beginning of the season. I think that result should be something to build upon, and yeah, hopefully Lopetegui and Sevilla will be a strong team once again, not just in La Liga, but also in European competitions.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Roman. And we will play out on sort of Sevilla's third goal, which was scored by José Ángel Carmona, El Niño del Pueblo, the boy from the village, the boy from Oliva. It was terrific commentary, it has to be said, and what a day he had. But From myself, Roman from La Liga Lowdown, I'll sign off. Thank you very much for listening.
Oh, ese muchacho.
¿Sabéis de quién? Gol del niño.
Ese muchacho.
Gol del chaval. Gol del pueblo de Oliva. Gol del viso de Alcor. Marcó Carmona. Ay, Cabrera. ¿Qué hiciste, hijo mío?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.